FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, episode number 288. Recorded May 12th, 2018. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. And I am your host, Drawn Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Headmaster Dawn.
Everybody.
And Robert Simmons.
Howdy, howdy.
Hopefully, if he can join us in a few minutes, Rick Alvarez. Let's see here. Did he post? Oh, he's on. So let me add him in real quick. He's a late bloomer here today.
Paging Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine.
Yes.
Speaking of he's yes, on. Did you all see Masterpiece Megatron from Beast Wars?
Oh, who hasn't?
Oh, of course.
We are live, so Rick is now here, and as you see him, wave at him. Hi. But happy nice. Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. Hope Mother's Day weekend. Tomorrow's Mother's Day, and many of you may be watching this on Mother's Day. Hopefully you guys are having a great holiday. I know I spent the afternoon today with my mom. We had a cookout and everything. It was really, really nice. Traffic was horrible, but didn't really help that they had road construction on a holiday weekend on the interstate nearby. So everything was down to one lane. Yeah, not fun. It took me 40 minutes just to get from the interstate to where I live. And it was like, it's only like 5-10 miles off the interstate. Terrible. You guys are quiet.
Just pondering.
I'm just mesmerized by the story that you're telling. Please continue.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that was all of it. That was all of it. Well, have you guys had a good Mother's Day weekend so far?
Chilling. With mom gone, there's just not much of a weekend. I'm going to call my aunt tomorrow, but that's about it.
Well, that's, you know, I mean, mothers are next to kin. That's close enough. I mean, that's something to do on a nice holiday weekend. I mean, the weather's been great around here. I know. I'm just glad to see the snow kind of finally moving away. Now it's we crept into the 90s here today. So
it looks like we're going to just jump past spring again down here and just go right into summer.
Pretty much. Some of you guys are on the ball. I noticed that. Tonight we're going to be talking about a couple of topics. They're not, you know, huge topics. And one of them actually, if you've been following the show for any length of time, we cover it at least once every year around this time of year. We're going to be talking about convention refreshers, basically convention etiquette. Not any conventions in specific, but we're going to be talking about some do's and don'ts at conventions, you know, things that you should and should not do whenever you're there. But the first topic that we're going to be talking about is something that was raised on our Facebook group here recently. And I've actually noticed a lot of it myself, and I don't know about you guys. People, whenever they try to sell things, sell Transformers in particular, they try to get like new or premium prices, or, you know, like vintage mint condition prices for incomplete broken junk. And it seems to be a growing trend lately. You know, it's like, oh, well, I got this Rodimus Prime. He doesn't have his rifles or those shields, and he's missing a couple wheels. I want $150 for it. You know, no, just no. We're going to talk a little bit about that, how to properly gauge what you have and generally what it should sell for. And no, eBay isn't always the end-all be-all for selling your items and everything, because sometimes those even those prices are a bit inflated. But keep in mind that, you know, the buyer is it all depends on whether or not somebody really wants what you have to sell. If somebody really wants it, then they'll pay for it.
But it's only worth as much as someone's willing to pay for it.
Yep.
You're absolutely. And I'm the only one who doesn't see Rick at all.
I see him. He's coming through just fine on this.
You can't see me, baby.
John Cena. Can you see him, Don?
Yeah, he's he's there in all his glory.
It's probably a Skype thing because
it's probably because I'm still in the process of growing back the beard. So you know, don't be alarmed. It's a process. It'll grow back. Don't worry.
You have hacked a beard and it is trying to come back. Before long, you'll look like Braun Strowman.
Well, I tell you, it's only a matter of time before somebody gets these hands.
So, yeah, it's a wrestling reference, Don.
Okay, good. That's
see, you have two podcast hosts that are huge wrestling fans, and you're lost on it. So you might as well just start following.
I mean, I watch American Gladiators. I watch something fun.
This is fun.
No, well, compared to wrestling, American Gladiators is fun.
Now we can't hear you.
Oh, yeah, probably because I had it muted.
Yes.
Yeah. I did it backwards.
You backwards.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think ultimately the thing to remember is value's in the eye of the beholder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think sometimes people do overprice their stuff because that's what it's worth to them. And, I mean, I think that's okay. You know, if you want to ask $150 for your garbage, I think go for it. Just don't be offended when no one buys it. Don't be offended when people say, hey, man, that's overpriced. Just be like, that's what it's worth for me to sell it. I know sometimes there are items that people have more emotional attachment to. And, I mean, I've seen that even from people we're friends with that they'd have them, like, at their booth at BotCon. And I was like, man, is it really worth that? And they responded, nope. But if somebody wants to buy it from me, that's what it would cost.
Well, yeah, I can understand. And that's
okay. Just, people don't need to get offended on either side. You know, if it's too much for you, say, no, thanks, walk away. Somebody says, you know, I'll give you, you know, X amount for it. No, thanks, that's too low. No big deal. People take it personally.
Yeah, it's one of those, if I don't sell it, I don't really mind kind of things. And I think everyone has been through that at least once.
Well, that's a special case, too. You know, it's like you price something other. It's like if somebody's willing to pay for it, great. But if not, you're happy just to keep it. I've seen people's that has literally tried to sell things, quote unquote. They put a ridiculous price on it, not expecting somebody to buy it. You know, nobody does. And they're like, oh, well, look, I didn't sell it. So I just guess I get to keep it. But, you know, if somebody does buy it, they'll get a lot of money out
eventually
of it.
Your wife catches on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is another reason too.
So the problem is not like, to me, it's not, and this doesn't really apply to conventions. This is more life in general. It's not to me what you price things at. It's the people who say, well, it's not worth that. And it's the reason behind why they say that. Because let's say you're really just into G1 movie, the 1986 movie. That's all you collect. You don't collect anything else. So when someone presents you with something that's from, you know, behind the scenes, something that's, you know, kind of special, and there's only a few of them in the world, and they say, well, you know, this is what is being asked for it. And they say, well, it's not worth that. It's not worth anything.
No, that's not
because it's not worth anything. It's just your frame of reference and your particular style of collecting doesn't jive with the item. It is incorrect for you to say, and it's rude for you to say, it's not worth anything. Right. No, it's just not for you.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of like Brett and Proto Man. They love prototypes.
Proto Man can go fuck himself. I just want to say that since we're live.
They like the prototypes. They like these very rare figures. These prototypes are off colors or only available like in Brazil. Like the mini bots were only available in Brazil in these colors. And to me, prototypes is not worth it for the money. Again, I see why people want the money they want for the prototypes, but like you were saying, Rick, it's from how you see it, and it's the importance to you.
Exactly.
It's how you're placing value on it. I've seen a lot of very nice prototypes, but I haven't bought a single one that I would want to pay what they're asking for, despite its rarity.
Well, and that's another thing too, is that they're prototypes. But I think the main issue comes whenever people are trying to sell, like I said at the top of the show,
common stuff
that is like either incomplete, the stickers are shit, it might be missing wheels, parts of it are broken, it's badly yellowed, you know, what have you. It's going to need some TLC to get it into a good shape. And I'm not talking about like, you know, it's like, you know, I recently got a G1 Getaway. It's 100% complete. The stickers were not mint, and it was a little bit yellowed. But that being said, those things are easily fixed. You know, I mean, I can do several different treatments on the yellowing, and then there's repro labels to replace the stickers, and everything else is in good shape. And I got it for a good price, a price that I was willing to pay. I found reasonable. But let's say, and I got that off Mega Toy Fan. Let's say if he wanted $150 for it. To me, that would be an absurd price for a figure that with what I had to put into it.
Exactly. I'm gonna give an example. My family used to do antiques. Dad used to do furniture, and we knew a guy, great guy. He would buy a old antique table, refinish it. He'd pay $25, put all the refinishing work into it, and sell it for $40. Yeah, he made $15. But when you count all the time in refinishing that piece of furniture, it wasn't worth it. And Dad said he wasn't going to spend 9 hours over a couple of days refinishing a piece of furniture and then making $15 on it because it wasn't worth his time to sell that. That's the same thing like you, Joron. With what you had to do to make that figure up to snuff, paying that much for it, plus putting the time and effort and supplies into it, would not have been worth it. So again, it's like
photographs. You know, I've heard people tell me. I've heard people talk about wedding photographers. Wedding photographers, for a wedding can charge anywhere between three and I've heard $18,000 for their services. And a lot of people's like, oh my God, that's like outrageous. But if you consider, they might just be standing there snapping pictures, but they're also taking pictures of something that is and daring moment. Plus, they're taking time out of their weekend. Plus, they have to edit those photos, and it can take many, many hours, depending on how many photos are taken. And if you figure if somebody gets $10 an hour, and you work for 8 hours working on those things, it adds up, you know. So a lot of people don't consider that.
And that doesn't even get into the cost of the camera supplies themselves.
Exactly.
The cameras are not cheap.
And a lot of people think, cheap. Well, I can take pictures with my cell phone and everything. Well, if you want to take pictures, if you want to take pictures of your cell phone and do what a photographer can do with it, then more power to you.
But having sold cameras in my life and having had access to very high grade single lens reflex cameras.
But
you get what you pay for versus snapping with your cell phone.
Yeah. Well, see, I link this to selling toys because it's up to the photographer to set his prices. And he puts the price on what he values his time. He or she puts into, well, because some wedding photographers are female, yes. What they value their time that they put into this work. And if somebody is not willing to pay that, then they'll go on to somebody else. But eventually somebody will say, okay, I value your time as much as you're valuing it. I will pay you that. And in the same way with toys, you know, if it's like I've got this thing here. It's the Cyber Battalion Optimus Prime. They sell these things for like $18 at Walgreens. You know, if I was to resell this thing, I don't value this thing too much. It's a desk bot to me. It's not worth a whole lot to me. It's not really worth the $20 I paid for it. But you know, if I were to resell this, I might put $10 on this because I don't value it that much. Somebody else might love it a whole lot and they want their $20 back out of it and they'll sell it for $18, almost what they paid for it.
Yeah.
You know, who's going to argue that though? I mean, you and I might agree on the value, but somebody else may not.
Right. Well, now I think it also boils down to the fact there's a lot of subjectivity. There's also a lot of cold, hard facts. You can go you can go over to Ant's page at TF Info. You can look at the figures. You can see it comes with this, 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 and this. I don't have this, this, and this. And so, yes, it's subjective, but there's also a lot of cold, hard facts that this figure is supposed to have XYZ pieces. You ain't got it. You need to adjust your price accordingly because people are going to have to do like you do it, Ron, and find the parts to make it complete.
Yeah. Well, I mean, fortunately, you know, the stuff that I bought recently was complete. I made sure that, you know, that I at least wanted it in complete condition. I really wasn't concerned about the stickers. To me, that was a non-issue. Yeah. If the stickers are shit,
Repro labels are out there.
As long as I know that there's a Repro label set for it. Now, if there aren't Repro label sets for it, then that's whenever I will be really a real stickler on it because, let's face it, there aren't Repro labels for every G1 toy out there.
You might be willing to pay a little bit more if the original stickers are in better shape.
Yes.
If there's no replacement sheet.
It goes right into condition. And I think that's a key point in what was brought up on our forum is that, you know, people are wanting mint condition, you know, really great, really fine, very fine condition prices for something that is not quite up to snuff. If you're using the C scale, let's say it's a C8 toy. I think that's the highest grade you can give a loose toy, is it not? A C8? Is anybody familiar with that?
I think it goes up to C10, but you just got to specify whether it's loose or
I think it can be, at any rate, let's say C8 is the highest you can go for a loose toy, and somebody's wanting asking a C8 price, but the toy might be a C4.
You buy it, it's going to blow up.
Yeah.
I think you know, as a, when people sell stuff too, I think a lot of people tend to list high, given that they expect people to haggle and they want that room to haggle. Because if I list two of the exact same toys, like literally exact, if I have one for $10 and then I have one for $13, if someone offers me $10 on the 13 one and I sell it, they're like, man, I got a good deal. But if I list that one for $10 and they offer $8 and I say no, they're like, well, 10's a ripoff price, I'm not going to do it. People want to feel they win a lot of time when they're buying used stuff, especially, I mean, even on eBay with best offer. You know, they feel they got to go a little under or else they don't win the sale. And it's just stuff. You know, there's no winning involved. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like people, so it just comes around to it. You put a little extra so you can come down a little bit and it helps make that sell. But you got to be willing to list the people's offers. You can't, you know, be that guy that says, here's my garbage. I put top tier price on it and I'm not going to budge. Well, I mean, at that point, I mean, you're just going to, when you sit, you're still sitting on it 6 months later, just acknowledge why that's happening and adjust if you're going to adjust.
Well, I'm going to go back to what my dad was saying, because, you know, we did the flea markets, the yard sales, the antique shows. You know, that's how I made my living before I started doing regular work. That's back when, you know, you could do this for a living in the late 80s, early 90s. And my dad always said, you can always go down. You can't go up. Which is exactly what you were saying, is you want to leave yourself some room
to haggle,
but not to the point where you cut your throat. And the other thing is that when you, it's also a lot of the times as far as the interaction between buyer and seller, and this will come up again in our convention talk later on.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I paired these two topics is because they kind of go hand in hand.
When you make an offer, either through eBay's best offer or in person at a dealer's booth, don't be a Richard. Don't be a jerk.
Don't be a dick.
Don't say, hey, I'll give you that. Or make a – I've actually had people – I've had something starting with a buy it now at $9.99. It was just a figure. I think it was an All Robots in Disguise. Step. I can't remember what it was. It was basically a little less than retail plus cheap shipping. Someone offered me $2 and wanted free shipping on a $10 figure.
Lose money to sell me this.
Yes. So again, if you're going to make a best offer through eBay, if you're going to make an offer in person, one, don't be an ass. Make a legitimately honest offer.
If somebody's asking $10 for something other, it's not unreasonable to ask $7 or $8. They may not take it, but it's not unreasonable. And don't offer $2 for it.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
And it's also how you do it. These people are trying to sell stuff to make money. In many cases, this is their living. Don't say, hey, I'll give you this, because you're devaluating their stuff that it's not worth being sold. Whereas you go in and say, sir or ma'am, would you consider taking $8? Would you consider taking $7? And show that, hey, I want to buy it, but I also want to try to save some money. Would you consider it? The worst they're going to do is say no. But you don't piss them off, and you don't be a jerk. And the next time it comes around and they have something you want, they may not even budge for you, because they'll remember you that you were an ass and you treated their stuff like crap. So remember, karma, toy karma is real. It will get you in some fashion. I am a firm believer in that.
You know, another thing I'd like to note too is that when you're selling off of eBay, remember that you're selling off of eBay. eBay has the widest market. It has the most buyers. It is going to get that top tier price. Usually what I do when I'm listing stuff is I'll go to eBay, look at sold, not completed, sold auctions, see what it actually sold for. Also look at what's currently listed, because that's your competition.
And also consider the condition of it. That is the number one thing. Consider the condition of what you have.
Yeah, it has to match what you have. And then once you get that, you know, get rid of the outlier, something that sold way under or something that sold way above, you can't look at those. Get your average. And then from that average, knock off 15%. Because you're not selling on eBay. You're not paying eBay fees. You're not paying PayPal fees. Knock that off. Everyone wins. You know, if it sells for $100 on eBay and you're trying to sell for $100 in a Facebook group, why would I buy from you? I'd rather spend $100 on eBay, and eBay is so buyer centric. Like, I know I'm safe with that purchase. If I'm buying it on Facebook, there's some risk involved. And, you know, you're just trying to milk more money out of it. You got to mark off that 15% that no one is paying anymore. It's not going into eBay and PayPal pockets at that point. So keep that in mind.
No, I've actually responded to offers, and I've had people make offers that were fair, but I had a lot more invested in what I was trying to sell it for. And I would tell them, look, I'm already losing money, and I've got eBay and PayPal fees on top of that. I really can't go that low because I'm already losing. I'm being honest with them. I'm trying to get back of most of what I can and cover my fees.
And if we were in person, yeah, sure, I could do that price, but we're not in person.
Yeah, and a lot of times I've had people email me back saying, hey, I understand that. It's no problem. They may not buy it, but at least they understand that, hey, I'm not trying to rip anybody off. I'm just trying not to lose my ass. And a lot of folks will understand that to a degree.
It's like, hey, I have a Rodimus. That's a Rodimus. They're asking $100 for it, but theirs was mint. Theirs was the plastic wheel or the rubber wheels variant. You know, you have the plastic tires variant. Yours is missing the rifle. The chest sticker's ripped. You know, consider what you have. Don't take the high and the low, and be reasonable with it. You know, it's not that hard. It's not that hard, but there are just so many people. They just look at, okay, I've got this character. I've got Cyber Battalion Optimus Prime. I want to sell this. And they don't take into consideration. I hate that. Just look at that. I know it tabs in, but it doesn't stay. I hate this thing. look at Dawn.
At least I'll give you
$2 plus free shipping.
At least it's not Robot Masters Optimus. It's a step up from that.
Yeah. But, you know, people, they don't look at it and say, okay, let's say the windshield paint is scratched. One of the rub signs or one of the symbols are gone on the arm. One of the tires is missing. They just look at the fact that they've got that character. They've got that toy. Okay, let's see what it sells for. And I can kind of understand if you aren't, you inherited somebody's toy collection. You don't know anything about it. It's like me. Let's say Don passes away and leaves his entire Visionary collection to me to sell for him. And get the most money out of it.
And then PayPal him in heaven.
PayPal, you know.
I'm sorry, hell, right?
PayPal, you know, whoever with it. But the thing is, I don't know beans about Visionaries. I don't know anything about them. I think I know one character.
But you know enough about collecting in general to know that you don't know. And to know that I need to find someone that does know, or I need to go find some wikis, or I need to go find some articles to tell me what the hell this shit is, because I have no clue. You wouldn't just immediately, you know enough about how the world works to not do that.
But some of the best deals I've ever gotten, either on Facebook, message boards, or eBay in particular, comes from a lot of people that don't know what they have. They don't really know what they have. I remember I picked up a nice bone white Jetfire several years ago. And I got it for less than $100 in the styrofoam. Only thing it was missing was the little C clip that goes on its arm. And
is it still white?
Oh, I don't have it anymore. I resold it.
Oh, okay.
I made double my money back from it. Yeah, because it was that pristine. Plus, guess what else? It had the Macross symbol on the wing, and it was a Jetfire. Those aren't as common. But this person sold it as a straight-up Jetfire. They didn't consider the completeness of it. They just wanted to unload it. It was a person that I think they said it was their brother's, and they sold it. You know?
I mean, there's value in knowing what you know about a toy, and I think that's completely fine. You know, all of us have been in the Transformer world for a long time. That knowledge doesn't come for free.
No.
And for some people, you know, that's okay to them. It's like, man, I got $100. I didn't have to do any research. That takes time, and time is money. And so I think it totally makes sense for people that don't know what they have to be okay with not getting full value on it because they don't want to spend the time doing that research. You know, it's the same when people sell them lots. That's a pet peeve of mine. And when somebody's like, oh, I want to sell like my animated Transformers collection, and you know, they've went out and they've priced them all and they want like full value of it as a lot, you're not going to get that. You're selling it as a lot. If you want full value, you got to sell it piece by piece. If you're going to sell it as a lot, you're going to have to come way down on that price, because somebody else is going to buy that as a whole and have to sell off a lot of pieces that they're not interested in. I mean, you might find that one magical buyer who's like, man, I really wish I had the whole animated line and I don't have any of them. But, you know, that's needle in a haystack at that point.
Yeah. I think my worst experience from selling a lot or a small lot, I sold the Fans Project M3, the Stunticon set. I didn't like it. There was nothing wrong with mine. It was not broken. Still had the boxes. I had them out on display. I decided I don't like this thing. Diesel's a mess. I'll never mess with him anymore.
Diesel is terrible. I still have it, and I don't even know why.
So I transformed them again. I boxed them all up, and I put them up on eBay. And this was back whenever you could still get the whole set brand spanking new for, what was it, $500, $550, I think. And I was asking $400 for it. I just wanted to unload it. I didn't care if I lost a whole lot of money on it, but I didn't want to lose my ass on it, if that makes any sense. There was somebody sent me an offer of $150 shipped on it. I thought it was a joke. I come back and at first I didn't even answer it. After a couple of days, they sent it again. Would you accept my offer? And I'm like, no, it's a ridiculous offer. And then they get mad at me, you know, and I'm like, why are you mad? It's ridiculous. We're getting a lot of feedback from somebody.
Yeah.
One of my pet peeves, and it's starting to become a trend now on Facebook, are these raffles. People who put up something, and it's like, all right, here's a Rodimus. 15 spots, $10 a spot. It's $150. Okay, that's fine. But then there's people who say, all right, here's a Rodimus. I'm going to put it up for a raffle. 30 spots at $10 a piece. That's $300. Now you're ripping people off. I got into a lively discussion with someone the other day, and I got blocked on Facebook because they took this item right here. This giant, you know, the big T-Rex.
The one that poops things out.
The one that poops things out. Still, you know, it's just showing up in stores, and they're like, hey, putting up this T-Rex for raffle. 30 spots at $10 a spot. $300.
What are you going to do with the rest of that money?
For a toy that sells for $54 and is just showing up. And his argument was, well, it hasn't shown up anywhere. Okay. So I made a point to send them a picture of mine and then to go to the store and take a picture of the one they had there and send it to him. And he accused me of basically cock-blocking him, his sale. So people who take advantage and try to sell something to people who, I don't want to say they're naive, but maybe they're not thinking it through. When sometimes as a buyer, you enable these people to act like shit. So when you're buying something, take things into consideration before you purchase it, whether it's on Facebook, especially at conventions. Ask questions. Another situation which happened recently was somebody bought a Diaclone figure. And they get it, they start looking at it, and they're like, wait, some of these parts don't match up. So he goes back to the seller, and he says, hey, I spent $150 on this, man. What's going on? Are there repo parts in here?
He's like, oh, yeah. Transformer version.
Yeah, there's some repro parts in here. You know, I had to make some reproduction parts. I made them myself. Okay, well, you didn't say that in the price. Yeah, but for the price you paid, you obviously wouldn't have real parts in there. You know, you paid $150 for something that if it had all the real authentic parts, it would have been $300. Yeah, but you didn't tell me it had repro parts in it when I bought it.
That's being you advertised. You're still muted. You're still muted, Robert.
You advertised it as being complete. You didn't advertise it as complete with repo parts.
False advertisement. Yeah.
So people need to be careful. And then check people's feed. And when you're buying off eBay, check people's feedbacks as well. That's what it's there for. All right, guys. Just try to be smart about it.
What were you trying to say, Rob? You're still muted. Can we still hear you? Oh, no. His mic's messed up. Don, did you have a comment on that?
No, I mean, you know, the raffle thing is not something I'm familiar with. But I don't use Facebook that much except for our news group for keeping in touch for shows and stuff. It's just I've found that Facebook is getting just so hard to manage because everybody cross-posts everything and it takes forever to find what you're looking for. So I just don't use Facebook that much anymore. But... yeah, I can see where the raffle thing would get really shady really quick, but omitting something, you know, a lie by omission is still a lie. Like you, like Rick, what you were saying, the person ran into. If you say, you know, it's like, well, I never said it wasn't all original. That is like the worst excuse you can use because it just proves you're trying to flim-flam someone.
Yeah,
maybe we should have thought maybe in some minor little percentage, like, okay, that's a good price. Why is it such a good price? But you're also not saying, hey, this isn't all complete. So there's a duty to the buyer and the seller, because there's enough crap going on in the fandom without adding more to it. So just act like everybody has some damn common sense and not screw this thing up because, you know, unfortunately, I do a lot of eBay because I've never had luck on forums. I've never had luck on Facebook. It's just the way it goes. I loved Crave. I loved when we had Crave. It was so nice to work with them on selling and buying stuff.
I never actually got to use them. I saw us. I met them. What was it? BotCon 2011, I think. Pasadena. They were actually there, passing out, you know, information. I think they had a booth. But I never actually got to use the service. Yeah. It wasn't long after that. I think that they bought out or something.
There's running. I won't tell you the theories I've heard. So because I don't want to spread, you know, rumor and hearsay, but. It boiled down to basically the traffic wasn't there compared to eBay. But I think over time, if it could have been pulled off, it would have been a good alternative. But, you know, if you're going to make an offer on eBay, act like you got some sense. When you list something, act like you got some sense and make it easy for everybody involved. I think that's what it boils down to.
Yeah. Rob, is your audio still foobar? You can just nod. Nod and shake your head, yes. No. But, you know, I never really, Rick, I never really experienced the raffles until I got into the pimps.
Yeah. But you understand how we do it on pimps,
yeah,
right?
But those seem to be the most fair raffles I've ever seen because there's some really good stuff in there. And to buy in, let's say, you know, there was a Sky Gary and a Macross Jetfire I'm wanting to say a Grandis or something other. I mean, and then the buy-in was like $17. I'm like, God, $17. Yeah,
but there's... $17 at 25 spots or 20 spots.
It makes sense.
Right. Yeah. And there's multiple prizes. You always get to choose what prize you want. And they're all high end prizes.
I think you have a loose wire, Rick. There you go. Oh. Can we hear? Can you? Nope. Can't hear you now. We can't hear you, Rick. I think he knows this. Yeah. Still can't hear. Now we're here.
Test.
Yes.
I had to switch it to my webcam audio. Skype Windows 10 version popped up originally, and it just borked everything. So I'll fix it later.
Okay. Anyway, we can hear
you. So that's all I got to say about that.
But yeah, I mean it's really some good auctions, and but I've never really been a part of a raffle anywhere else. That was the first time I'd ever been a part of a raffle, was in there. Now auctions is a different thing too. Those really have only popped up in the last year or so. And I've watched a couple of yours, Rick. What do you feel about how auctions work? Do you have a good experience?
So another trend besides the raffles, and I'm not saying don't do raffles. I'm an advocate for raffles if they're done right, the way we do them.
Pay attention to what's being sold and
pay attention to how much they're getting versus your odds. You know, if they're trying to sell you this for $10 a spot, and there's 30 spots, that means, you know, that's $300. All right, they had to buy this, so you take out $50, and then they have to ship it. You know, if shipping's included, but that's still they're ripping people off. They're taking advantage of people, right?
But I mean, if so somebody wants to pay that, I mean, maybe it's worth it to somebody to try to get it for that much cheaper. I mean, I wouldn't do it, but I mean, they didn't put a gun to somebody's head and say you have to buy into my raffle that I'm to make a lot of money off of.
But you have to be a vigilant consumer.
Because the more people buy in, yeah, you would be buying into a $10 raffle. It's only $10 out of your pocket, but you're supporting somebody ripping people off
the community.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
And this is why I don't buy G1 stuff off eBay anymore. I buy very rarely do I buy G1 stuff off of eBay anymore, because you don't know if it's authentic. You don't know if it's got repro labels on it, or if it's, you know, it all depends on how you collect. I only like to buy stuff if it's complete. You know, I don't like to mess around with parts. I'm too old
to collect parts anymore.
Yeah, I got a USS flag in the box here, but I've been trying to complete my loose flag for over 10 years, because I'm kind of lazy, and I go through my periods of time where I complete it. When I look for parts, and then, you know, same thing with my Castle Eternia. I've been trying to complete that for, almost 10 years as well. Shit, no. Since 2005, I've been trying to complete that.
It was the year 2005, and
So, you know, I like to buy stuff that's complete. I like to know what I'm buying, and when I'm paying a premium for G1 stuff, as I often do, I need to know exactly what I'm getting for my money.
I haven't bought a vintage.
A homeowner taught me that.
I haven't bought a G1 off of eBay in years. Yeah, I mean, I'm just the same way as you, Rick. I want to see it in person, and you don't know if the joints are seized on it. You don't know if it's, you know, how yellowed it is by a picture, because some people's lighting is utter shit. So they may have yellow lights, and a white figure may look yellowed, but it's not really, you know, or vice versa. So it's best to see it in person. Now, if you want to take a chance on it, by all means, try it. I know people that still buy vintage toys off of eBay. I just won't. It's too much of a risk for me.
All right. So you'd also mentioned auctions, which is another thing that I dabble in. So on the Facebook group that I'm an admin on, the RoboPimps group, we've started doing auctions. Now, a lot of toy groups out there have been doing auctions, and there tends to be two types of auctions. There's a comment auction where you post an item and you say, hey, I'm putting this up there, bid in the comments. I'll let the bidding go for 2 days. So people look at what the highest bid is in the comments, and then they put in their highest bid, and it's like a reply type thing. I find those to be tedious. I don't participate in those.
And
I don't
encourage honestly, those. I don't see those as very successful either. I don't usually see a lot of those.
Yeah.
Anymore.
So I like doing the live auction. So I'll get on the live auction. I put on a show. You know, I'm very entertaining, and I've got that, you know, sexy Spanish swagger to me, and I sell stuff.
You may or may not strip during the auction.
I may not, may or may not.
And so modest.
Drink liquor during the auction, or say, hey, if somebody bids an extra $5 on this, I'll down this whole bottle, whatever.
Oh, sure. Punish yourself for doing that.
Well, you know, I was going to drown the bottle anyway. It's just a way of driving it up. I think auctions are pretty good. Live auctions are pretty good. It all depends on the host and how they present the auctions. So a quick example, people do this. All right, I got this Shockwave here. I'm going to start the bidding at $5. All right, the way I would do it is, the way I do it, I got a Shockwave here. There's a little crack here in the front of the box. As you can see, it's sealed on this side. It's sealed on this side. This item is from 2018. This is the Decepticon Evergreen Shockwave. I'm going to start bidding at $5. There is no reserve on this. There is no buy it now. Please comment. We're going to run this for 2 minutes. Let's go.
And a lot of people set up a timer that you can see.
Some people set up a timer, yeah. Some people set up a timer, and then every time somebody bids, the timer resets itself, kind of like when a kaiju attacks. I'm all for that because you're not paying eBay. You're
doing the work yourself.
Yeah, you're doing the work yourself, and you're not giving the money to eBay, to a big faceless corporation. You're just giving money to PayPal, which is a
used to be a subsidiary of it, but no longer.
Yeah, it used to belong to eBay, but now it's its own thing again.
Well, it used to not, then it did. Now it does again.
So.
Oh, it does again?
So you're only giving money to one faceless corporation instead of two, and I like that.
I didn't know eBay was back part of eBay again, or PayPal was back part of eBay again.
Oh, yeah.
Nope. It's not. They used to be. PayPal started by itself, then eBay bought it. And now PayPal's back by itself again.
Oh, I thought you said it was
back. Skirting the lines of
trust laws and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was like you know, basically just cornering the market. You know, you're buying and paying through the same company and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, they're charging you double. You know, we're charging you to run the auction, and then we're charging you a fee for the money.
So, before we move on to the convention refresher. Last thoughts on people who try to get gold for their garbage. Rick.
Don't be a dick. Listen, just because you have some... You know what? Going back to when the special editions came out in Star Wars. I used to be really big into Star Wars then. I was in high school. And everyone and their mother went up to their attics to get their old Star Wars toys and flooded the market. And everyone thought, hey, I've got a Star Wars toy. It's worth $1 million. No, it's not. It's one of the most produced toys of the last century. All right.
I have a 2007 Bumblebee. I want full price for it.
Yeah. You have to know what you have. Just because you have something that is well known in popular culture, be it Transformers, Legos, Star Wars, Hot Wheels, whatever, you do have to do your research if you want to get top dollar for it. Sometimes you just put it out there, you don't know what it is, and somebody recognizes it and it hits big and you make a ton of money. Great. Sometimes you make a quarter of what you could have made because you didn't do the research. It's all just don't be a dick in how you go about it. That's all. And just remember, when you sell to a dealer,
you're generally going to get about half of what it's worth.
Don't be that person that goes to the dealer and says, well, I looked it up on eBay and they sell for this. You're not going to get that. Because the dealer has to sell it for that amount in order to make their money. They have overhead. They have expenses. They have to pay some employees, insurance, whatever.
They have to make a profit.
You can't sell it to them for top dollar because then they can't sell it.
A good lesson of that is watch Pawn Stars on History Channel. I know it's all set up, but you see a lot of people.
Way to plug your own show, Duran.
Yeah. Hey, I got to. But you see a lot of people come in there, they'll call in an expert, and the expert will say, oh, yeah, this guitar is worth $1,700. You know, Gene Simmons held it himself. He autographed it down here in the corner. It's worth $1,700. And then the expert will leave, and the guy's like, all right, I want $1,700 for it. Then Rick comes back, I can't give you that. I'll give you $1,000. And they're like, $1,000? Oh, no, you can't do that. That's robbery. He just said it's worth $1,700. Well, Rick's like, I've got to frame it. I've got to sell it. I have to make a profit on it. I can't.
And more importantly, he's the one who has to find the buyer.
Exactly.
Hey, if you want that $1,700, you go out there and you find the buyer.
A lot of smart people, too, that whenever they find out how much something's worth, they'll go and try to sell it themselves, rather than just go ahead and sell it. Or if they just don't want to mess with doing that, they'll say, all right, you know, I'll take a hit on it, but I'll still be getting a good chunk of change. All right, I'll take your $1,200. You know, they'll haggle, yeah, get it up to like $1,200 and leave it at that. There's some room there for him to make some profit. It's reasonable. Yeah. But don't ask for full price.
It's good to go to a dealer because it's instant sale. And it's instant cash, right? And it just saved you a hell of a lot of trouble. Let the dealer worry about cleaning it, selling it, piecing it together, finding buyers, shipping it. Let them worry about that. But just know that, you know, that's going to cost, their time is worth something as well.
One other thing, too.
Don't be a dick.
Rare items. What is the best rule of thumb for trying to sell something that is not hard, not easy to come by?
The first thing you got to know is that for rare items that demand premium, it is hard to find a buyer sometimes. Sometimes it's going to take you a while. Sometimes it could take you a year or more.
Yusha Brave.
To find the right buyer. So just, you know, be patient. Be patient.
It's like whenever I went to sell my Brave collection, the really nice pieces like King Jader and a few others, they sold really quick, relatively quick. And then some of the lesser known pieces, it took forever to sell them because nobody knows what they are, first of all. Second of all, they don't want to pay the premium prices they demand because they are so uncommon. So it took a long time. I'd say it probably took a year and a half to finally sell all through all of my Brave stuff. Now I've got one item left, and that's my Dino Geist. He's not going anywhere. He's like one of my favorite toys of all time.
Dino Geist.
But
he's
yeah,
the sweet
it's...
one. Do you know that's Justin Guarini?
Who?
The guy from the
American
Idol.
Oh, really?
The little sweetness,
yeah,
from Dr. Pepper.
Okay.
That's that Justin Guarini guy from the first season of American Idol. He came in second to Kelly Clarkson. I know some of you weren't born back then, but...
I was.
I just didn't care.
The only one that I'm not older than is Don. Don could be all of our dad combined.
Yeah.
I want to turn this podcast around. With
John. Hey, y'all remember when we didn't have clickers and we'd have to walk up to the TV and turn the knob and we only had three stations?
Don was the one that made us do that. So, Don, you have any last thoughts on selling?
If you're online and you see an item you want, whether it's a sales thread, eBay,
you're in New York or whatever, and you're looking for a club to go to. Sorry, that's exactly where that sounded.
I get
like
that reference.
No, yeah, no, go to Dance-a-tron. No, what you want to do,
hottest club is Headmaster RC.
Yeah. If you are looking at an item online, if you are too embarrassed to make an offer, if that person was in person, like if that person was at a show and you would not make that offer in person to them, don't make it online through the internet, because that's just cruddy. Make a fair offer, and you know, have the chutzpah to be fair about it and don't say, I'll give you $2 on a $10 toy. That's just, you're being a jerk.
Internet anonymity has been a massive problem.
Be better than that.
Doing this, yeah.
Yeah, we have a great fandom. Let's just try to be better than the lowest common denominator.
Which is Dawn.
Let's be better than GoBot collectors.
I'm the oldest common denominator.
All right, what about you, Robert?
At this point, I'd just be regurgitating what everybody else has said. So I think we got it covered.
All right. So let's move on to convention etiquette refresher. Now, a lot of people, you know, that's been listening to the show for a long time, they're like, oh, this again. But, you know, Dawn can attest, I can attest, Rick can attest, I'm sure Robert can attest. Conventions, it seems like people forget some of the most basic things. And number one, we can all say it together. What is the number one? Take a damn shower.
Wash your damn balls, people.
Lord.
This is what, you know, Brian Savage would never let me do this. He said it would be insulting to people. So I always wanted to take like a Cyber Planet key and put it in a bar of soap. And the only way you can get the Cyber Planet key is by using that bar of soap. And then you get that special Cyber Planet key. And he said, no, that's insulting to them. Necessary,
if you find
insulting.
Taking a shower or a bath to be insulting, you have a problem.
No. It's insulting to them because we're dictating to them hygiene. And we don't have the right to do that.
But the thing is as a fan service, this podcast every year, and I know we're not the only ones that do. We always remind people this, but then we go to the conventions, and you're all inevitably you're going to be in a line behind somebody that smells like onions or sweat socks because they just don't wash their clothes, they don't wash themselves, or both. And they walk around the convention, they smell, and we're not trying to be dicks here. I want to be clear on that. You know, we're not, you know, trying to be uppity. This is something that
taking a shower is not uppity. If being told to take a shower offends you, fuck you.
Robert, calm down, Robert. Here's the thing. You know,
you take
I get
a shower.
It. I used to be young once upon a time. I used to be a young guy. You know, I remember the days where I'd go to BotCon and there'd be like 11 of us in a room. There's only one shower in that room. Not everyone gets to shower. All right. I mean, I can't leave the room until I shower, and I'm an early riser, so I never had the problem. But like, listen, I get it. You know, you're young. You're trying to save money. You're got 10 guys to a room. It sucks, man. It sucks. But listen, do yourself a favor. Don't do it for them. Do it for yourself.
You're hearing it from somebody that was actually on convention staff. I mean, how many people did, and another thing, brush your teeth or at least chew some gum? Because
brush your teeth in the shower if you want to. I don't care. Listen, just have respect for yourself that you're in a country that has hot running water.
One thing I've noticed as a dealer helper is a lot of people will come up to you and they're like, hi, you know, they want to talk to you, but then their breath, I don't know if they just got through eating an onion sandwich or what, you know, or a big plate of spaghetti, you know, especially in Chicago, I am a huge fan of Chicago deep dish. I love pizza. I love garlicky stuff, but at least have some chewing gum or something, you know, that you can chew afterwards. And then go into the dealer room, and if you're going to be talking to people, you know, it's like I say, these things sound so basic and so like, oh my God, why are we even talking about this? But we wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't a problem. General hygiene is a key whenever you're going to conventions. You know, not just okay, the morning of the first day, and then, well, we went late. We had a lot of fun last night. Maybe we went out drinking and had a lot of fun times the night before, and then you only had 4 hours to sleep before the con opened up the next day. It doesn't matter. You still need to take care of the basic hygiene just for general common courtesy to your fellow con goers.
Respect yourself. I mean, I get it, you know. 10 guys to a room, it happens. It happens when you're a young guy.
You just plan
it out. You can't afford it.
Half of you will take your shower the night before, other half take it in the morning.
Yeah, you can't afford it. Now that I'm an old man, now that I'm, you know, 39 and I'm an old man and I go to conventions.
I wish I was still 39.
You know, I bring my kids with me. I get my own room now because, you know, that's just, you know, I'm in that place in my life where I need my own room.
Techatron said in the live chat, when you're going to be in a crowded area, wear clean clothes and bathe. That just puts it so succinctly.
And deodorant.
Yeah.
And toothbrush.
Deodorant helps because, yes, you are going to sweat after, especially some of these conventions have really
bad air
conditioning.
You're walking around standing up all day.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to sweat a little bit.
Listen, if you can't take a shower, for whatever reason, you can't take a shower. All right. Just change your clothes, change your underwear. All right. You can't take, you know, be considerate, wear some deodorant. You know, if you can't, you know, take a shower, put some Gold Bond medicated powder on your balls. It'll stop them from sweating. So you get that ball sweat that really stinks, you know, like, you know, respect yourself, man. Don't get your ball sweat stank to other people. Don't give them that. I don't want that.
Now, speaking of balls,
it's bad enough that you're ugly. You know, now you're ugly and you smell? God damn, Duran.
Speaking of balls, let's change gears here and go on to something that Don was talking about earlier. General convention etiquette when you're talking and dealing with dealers. You know, you gotta have some balls, but don't have so much balls that you're going to go up and way lowball a dealer. You know, don't, if they,
it's
have,
just like the last convo, just don't be a dick.
Yeah,
say, hey, can you take X on this? No, I can't, thank you for your time, walk on to the next guy.
Don't sit there and say you will take, you know, but I've actually heard that
it ain't worth that.
You'll take that. Yeah, it ain't worth that. Well, so the person behind you says it is and they're willing to pay, get out of their way.
You know, and especially, don't go around making a bunch of offers in the first couple hours of the show. They're not going to listen to you.
Yeah, the show's just opening. Don't try to, you know, undercut the dealer if the show's just opening. You know, you save that for, like, the last hour of the show or the last day of the show, you know?
Don't go up to the Fun Pub booth and offer $150 for a $100 set. Wait till the club ends, and then you'll get $150.
So here's something that's perfectly acceptable to say to someone, to say to a dealer, hey, man, if I buy a couple things, do you think you could help me out? That's perfectly
You would
acceptable.
Be surprised now, how many dealers would say, sure.
Now, I'm like $5 off here or there.
Mm-hmm. Listen, when I sell stuff in general, I have a no haggle guarantee. My prices are set. I don't haggle. It's my no haggle guarantee because I don't like to haggle. I set my prices at what I want to get it for, right? But if someone takes a couple things and they say, hey, man, if I buy a couple things, can you help me out? Yeah, because I know I'm going to get more money out of this jerk. So, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna give this.
You might not want to tell them that they're jerks.
You know, I'm going to give this
Everybody's
guy
a jerk,
bucks
Rick.
Off. I'm gonna give this bozo a couple dollars off, so he gives me more of his money.
You know, and now, by the same token, with timing, just because it's the last hour of the show doesn't mean all of a sudden that the 50% offers are now valid either. You know, I mean, there's generally no time where the 50% offer is valid unless they put a big sign that says "end of show closing 50% off." You know, just because it's the last hour doesn't mean they're ready to give their shit away.
The best end of show deals I ever saw, and I can't remember what the dealer was, but it was a BotCon in the last BotCon in Dallas. I think it was it 2012? Was it that the one in Dallas that was kind of down in the basement where nobody had cell service? There was a dealer near the front of the room, had a butt ton of Generations toys. And at the end of the con, he's like, make an offer. I'll probably not refuse. I picked up like Warpath and a few others, and I just threw out a crazy number. It's like, I'm wanting to say I had four deluxes, and I said $20. You know, because, hey, he already had stuff marked down, a lot of stuff marked down 50% off already. You know, so I just threw it out there, and he looked at me and went, sure. Four deluxe generations for $20. You know,
he had a sign saying, make me an offer. I want to get rid of it. You know, he asked for it. That's totally fine.
Because he doesn't, the general thing is near the end of conventions, a lot of these small dealers, they don't want to take a lot home because that's a lot of stuff they got to pack up. Or if they sell it, that's less they have to pack up and more money in their pocket. You know, you just gotta be smart about it.
But the bigger dealers, they're set up for it. They don't mind taking. They're already got a trailer going home, whether it's half full or 60% full doesn't make a big difference. You know, it really depends on the dealer. You know, check the vibe. The dealer will let you know what he's willing to do.
I've got somebody sneaking in on me.
Guys,
hey,
what the hell is this?
I got a kiss.
Now, one thing I will say is that I have something of a reputation in a BotCon dealer's room.
You've also got a reputation at the question and answer panel too, Don.
When are you gonna be the headmaster RC with a transforming Daniel figure? Okay. I think fans would really want this.
Actually, I did not ask that for the last several years, except for the last one, because everybody wanted me to. But that's beside the point.
I don't think everyone wanted you to.
Well, most everyone.
I would challenge that statistic.
Okay.
But nobody knows who you are anymore, Don. Us old warhorses, we're old news, man. Yeah. It's a new generation.
Hey, KJ!
But anyway, I am going to take you to task on one thing, Rick. When the show first opens, yes. When the show first opens, don't start making offers in most cases. But if it's a big ticket item, and it's, let's say, for example, and Duran, you'll know what this is. The Super Fire Dagwon gift set with the slip case that I've shown, you know what that is, and I've shown it to you.
Rick knows what that is too, I'm sure.
Yeah. I saw that at a box.
That's the big three piece.
The two piece with the
box that's like the long way.
It's a satchel. Looks like a satchel.
Yeah. With the handle. Yeah. And a dealer had it for $150. That was the very first thing I saw when I walked in.
That's a
pretty good price.
Pretty damn good price, yeah.
Now, this was several years ago. I told him, I said, sir, I know the show's just opened. Would you take $125? He had it at $150. I asked him for $125.
That's not unreasonable, though. That's not unreasonable
offer, Don. Right.
But I'm just saying, if it's a big ticket item and it's your holy grail or on your list, and I'll talk about the list in a second, then a lot of dealers will at least entertain the thought because they're starting off with a big ticket sale. Don't be greedy because you know you're going to buy it anyway, more than likely, because it's on your list. But you can save a little bit if you make a slight offer because you know you're going to get it anyway, unless it's just completely jacked out of range. So you still can do that in some cases, Rick, as far as the...
But that's not an unreasonable offer, Don.
Right, but I'm saying as far as, like, you were saying at the beginning of the show...
It's not unreasonable to go up and make an offer, but it's not likely they'll take it. Yeah,
I think that's the exception that Don's giving here. Most dealers aren't going to.
Yeah, there are things, but
it's never wrong or it's never offensive to make a polite offer, no matter what day time of the show it is.
Usually early on in a show, I'll make an offer on something, and usually what I'll hear is like, "That's a good offer, but talk to me maybe tomorrow if it's still here."
Come back Sunday,
because it's still too early. They want to see if they can move it at the price they're asking. In and of itself is not unreasonable either.
Exactly. Also, from an old convention war horse, I'll tell you this. Before you even step foot in the other room, before you even probably even get on the plane to go there, you need to have a list of what you're looking for. And you need to prioritize.
No.
Well, let me finish, Rick, and then you can counter. You need to put down what you're going to find, whether it be new product on the shelf that you can't find due to distribution, whether it be a holy grail that you're still looking for, whether it be, you know, I've always wanted this but never saw it at a good price. If I see it, I will try to get it. For me, that was the Blue Encore Omega. I kept wishing I had bought that, but I never did. So before you walk in the door, before you start seeing all this stuff and all this great stuff you can get, because you're there and you have some money to spend, try to prioritize what you're looking for, because you don't want to blow all your money on really great stuff and then find what you're looking for and have nothing left. Now, that doesn't work in every case, but I'm just saying if you left with only the four things in your 10-item list and you'd be happy, then it's worth it for you to avoid any after-purchase regrets.
And I think to go along with that list, make a budget.
Exactly.
I've known too many friends that, like, one guy, he literally wasn't sure, he couldn't eat because he spent all his money on toys. Like, right. You're an adult, man. Set a budget.
And I'm going to set a budget. Exactly. And I'm going to extrapolate on that. Again, having done this for so many years, I don't want to sound like a know-it-all, but I've done this once or twice. What you want to do is if you work public work, you know what your paychecks are. Take care of your bills before, take care of your bills after, so that way you're not landing at the airport and the next day you're wondering, how am I paying rent and eating? Yeah. Take care of all the stuff before and after the show, and then the money you have left over, that's what you take to the show. It may not be as much as you want, but you know you're not landing right back into literally hot water trying to pay bills and trying to eat.
I admit,
but you're an adult, so act like it.
I admit early on, whenever I was in my late 20s, early 30s, I fell into this pitfall. I did. But later on, I did wisen up, and I did what you guys are saying. But also what I would do, usually it wasn't a whole lot. I know there's people that goes into a convention with several $1,000 to spend. Me, I never was able to save a whole lot back because, you know, there wasn't a whole lot to put back after I took care of the pertinent things. But usually I would go in with $500, $600, you know, and that was my spending money at the convention. You know, you'd be surprised. There was some really epic hauls that I've brought back from conventions and not spending a whole lot of money. And you know, if you set a budget and like you said, I do a list, but I usually keep it short. That way I'm not looking for a whole lot of stuff that may spread my money thin, especially if I don't have a whole lot of money to spend. You know, if I keep my list short and I look for that stuff first, okay, I look all around the room. My number one on my list has always been a sealed, legitimate American Weird Wolf in a good in a great condition box. I went into many conventions willing to spend my entire saved up amount of money on that one item. I'd walk around the dealer room. If I didn't see it, I'd go down to the next one on my list. And after I went through the room, looked for the stuff that was on my list, if I didn't see it, then that's whenever I'd start buying, well, that's a good price on that. I want that. And then just go from there. It's setting a priority and a limit on yourself.
I think on that note, it's important, too, to remember, make multiple rooms around the dealer floor, especially the bigger the convention, higher odds you're going to miss something. I make many laps around the dealer rooms, and every time I see stuff, like even if I'm not interested, it's just like, oh, I didn't realize that was there last time.
How many times you've walked by, have you walked by a table and not saw something, and then the second, third, fourth time that you walk by the table, you're like, holy crap, I didn't see that there before.
Yeah. All the time.
That's what I usually Saturday in a dealer's room is my day to find all the stuff that I'm looking for. And then Sunday, once all the stuff is cleared out or is a little bit thinner in some of these booths, that's when you start checking your boxes, your nooks, and your crannies for all the stuff you could have missed. Because I found lots of good stuff because it was so much stuff in the booth that I never saw, like y'all said, to the next day. So, so plan on taking some time to get off your list, because I found some GoBots that I was not expecting. I found Bullseye, which is not an easy GoBot to find, especially not all yellow with him being that 80s white plastic. I found him for $10 in a corner behind some He-Man stuff, if I'm remembering correctly.
Was he offering you a watch? In a dark corner.
On that same token, feel free to ask dealers if they have stuff, and feel free to show dealers your lists.
Oh yeah,
they want to sell you crap. If you got a list going up, especially if it's don't hand them 100 items, but if you got a nice list of 5 things, maybe 10, like they're happy to skim it and say, oh yeah, I got this. It's in this bucket under the table.
Mm-hmm.
Let me bring it out.
Brett's done that many times with me. Yeah,
because crap like GoBots, they'll throw in a bin and shove it under. They'll bring it to the shows, but they'll only put it out if they get room.
Well, matter of fact, I have an example of that. This guy here wasn't even on the table. He had an incomplete one on the table. Yeah, he's in really good shape, 100% complete. And I just said, I want a complete Skull Cruncher. Have you got one? Sure. Dug it out of the bin. Here it is. And that's all you have to do is work with a dealer, and they'll work with you in general. Now, there are some buttholes out there. Let's be fair. I've dealt with some butthole dealers. They will not haggle. They would
people.
Yeah. And you they're usually the ones that like to take a lot of stuff back too. I've seen that. Yeah, they're the ones that they're sitting there in their booth and they look angry all the time because nobody's buying anything. Maybe because you're a dick.
You don't have to haggle, and like I don't haggle.
Yeah.
Right? But I set my things at prices to
no
price. What I feel is price to move.
Yeah.
And one thing I want to bring up, and that's sort of, it's not really new, but it's something we haven't really talked about that much. Your room-to-room trading boards. I am guilty of this. I am extremely guilty of this. Because you all have seen pictures of my lists. They go from the top of the board to the floor. That's about 6 feet, or about 7 pages, give or take. If you're going to do a list, try to make sure you're not eating up. See, I've always tried to make sure mine was like in a corner going towards the bottom, so I wouldn't take up a lot of
real estate. You should staple them together where people can flip through it.
Well, I didn't do that because I couldn't find a stapler that one year. So I had to wind up using Scotch tape. I couldn't find a stapler anywhere. But yeah, also when you use the room-to-room trading board, be polite when you call or leave a message. Again, the same things that apply in the dealer room sort of apply to the trading board as well. So it's a different way of selling and buying, but the same rules apply as well. So just keep that in mind, too.
Yeah. And, now that we don't have BotCon anymore, and TFCon's probably our closest substitute. There's a lot of, there's still a lot of smaller conventions. I'd also say, a lot of times people go as dealers now, or, at least coming to offload some toys. I would drop a note that if you're doing that, or if you're helping someone at the booth, make sure your product is priced and make sure your product is visible. I remember one year, a very popular dealer, old time guy, had his table just with toys littered on it, not even on shelves, like rare Action Masters sealed, just in a pile of garbage, and wanted you to dig through their stuff and charge you top dollar for it. That's not a way to run a booth either. So, if you're going as a dealer, price your stuff and have it visible where people can see it.
Absolutely. Any other convention etiquette things that you guys might think of?
I got a big one.
Okay.
I see so few people doing this, and I've done it since like year 2 of the second convention I went to. get a backpack.
Oh, backpacks God, yes.
Amazing. And in that backpack, put snacks. You will have a hard time getting breakfast and getting lunch. Dinner's easy because everybody goes out.
You will lose track of time so easy.
Get a bunch of snacks like, you know, jerky and peanuts and those and bottled water. And, you know, I like gummy bears because I want a sugar fix. You know, some candy bars, some cheap candy bars from Kroger.
Gummy dicks or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Put some snacks in there and carry that bitch around with you. And it'll save you. It'll makes organizing your day so much easier.
Here's something that I really just don't like. And I am guilty of doing this. I'm guilty by association, not guilty because I did this. I am guilty by association. You check into the hotel, you got to get all your stuff out of the car and you put it on the little hotel trolley and you take it up to your room. Don't keep the trolley in your room all weekend.
Yeah, there are people that do that.
Return the trolley so other people can use it. All right? Don't keep the trolley there all weekend holding nothing just so you can have it available to
you. How many of you went to a room-to-room sales thing and walked into the person's room, looked over to the right, and there's one of those trolleys sitting there? It's like, really, dude? I've seen it a couple times. I mean, it's not like the same person, you know, but I have seen this. And it's, yeah. Don, you have any last minute?
No, I think we've covered pretty much everything. Bathe, shower, use your deodorant, take food with you. I guess if I want to
don't
add
be a
anything,
Richard.
if I want to add anything, the hotel staff is going to be drowning in people. Yeah, that's their job, is to help people. That's why they're there. But if you can be a little more pleasant, a little more patient, again, just they're there and I know they're used to these big crowds. But I have seen some of us get really short, really quick. Not us, us as the fandom, for no real reason. And having worked in retail most of my life, I know what it's like to.
I mean, get a bad customer. They understand you. You might have traveled a long time. You might be tired and cranky. You just want to get in bed, but that's no reason to be an asshole to somebody.
Exactly, because these people are—they're in. They've got a lot of people to put up with, a lot of calls from the rooms that's already got people in them. Just try to be a little more accommodating to them because they are trying to help you. So you know, and there's that.
Yeah, I think if I was to add one, it would just be a plan. What you want to do, what your goals are. Look at the convention before you go, and I learned this lesson the hard way the last couple BotCons that I went to before I became a dealer's helper, is that I didn't really look at the schedule because my primary goal whenever I went was to go through the dealer room. And then I totally missed on panels that I really wanted to go to because I got so wrapped up into it. Pay attention to the time of the panels. Make note of the panels that you want to go to, and then make note of the time and say, okay, I need to watch the time and this is, I want to go to this panel. I almost, the very first time Peter Cullen came to BotCon, I think it was the one here in Lexington, I almost missed his panel. I had to sit near the back of the damn room because
so full.
I almost totally missed his panel because I was in the dealer room trying to haggle with somebody. And I finished up the deal. I don't even remember if I bought the figure or not. I'm like, oh crap, I'm about to miss Peter Cullen's panels. And I think I sat like right in like the second or third row from the back. And I wanted to get there early.
Oh, you actually had a seat though.
Yeah.
I remember we had people sitting in the aisle, like on the floor and lined up in the back. That was such a packed room.
Well, I think it helped that I actually knew somebody in the room and they had an empty seat next to them. So, but it was really it would have really benefited if I'd paid attention to time and made a note of all the panels. So the following years after that, I would actually keep track of when I needed to leave the room. And then it got to the point where panels really didn't do anything for me, so I didn't really care. But there are still a lot of people out there that they need to and want to experience panels at these conventions. And they'll need to pay attention to that. So that's a really important thing there.
Pay attention to your messenger.
Yeah, I'm dick pics, yeah.
On that note, you know, of paying attention to the schedule and what's coming up, you know, I highly recommend just any trip you're making, have a packing list, you know, of what you're going to bring, you know, so along with, you know, your list of stuff to buy and your backpack and your snacks, list of stuff you want signed or autographed. So, you know, go through there and know who's going to be there and make sure you have those things packed away, ready to get signed for when you show up. You don't want to get there and be like, oh man, I really wanted my DVD signed, but I left them at home.
Oh, and one real quick thing. Know who's there to sign stuff that you want to get signed, and then bring it with you. Because if you think about buying something in the dealer's room, that voice actor is there to sign stuff.
It's going to be double price.
It's going to be a lot. Because I had actually never... The first
You're
year
gonna
I
pay for that convenience.
Yeah. The first year I met Mike McConaughey, because I've mentioned before, I love Cosmos and Tracks.
Reissue Tracks. I paid $60 for one. Because I didn't have one for him to sign. I had to buy one there.
And I could not find anything to buy for him to sign. And I found a dealer that was selling the G1 trading cards for $1 a piece. And I bought a Cosmos card for him to sign, because that's the only thing because Cosmos is themselves for about $10 a piece at the show. Yep. So that works
if you're a dealer too. BotCon 2004 in Pasadena. I was looking for the one. I was looking for something to get autographed. Or maybe I wasn't. I was just looking. And then somebody had the one Action Master I didn't have carded, which was Bumblebee. It was the only Action Master I didn't have carded. And I bought it. And I got it real cheap, too. It's super mint. And I got it real cheap, too. And I got it from the dealer. I'm like, I'm going to go get this signed. And he's like, wait, that guy's here? I'm like, yeah. It's like, oh, shit. So either he wanted to get it signed, or he could have charged a lot more for it. I think I paid $50 for it back in 2004, which is a great price.
Yep. So I think that'll wrap us up this week on TFYLP. Hopefully the information that we've talked about tonight was really helpful on many accounts. I mean, we talked about, selling things online. You know, be smart. Just be smart about it. And again, be smart about going to conventions and be respectful and considerate of others. We wouldn't be repeating this every year if it wasn't a problem. All four of us here on the show are veterans, as it were, of conventions, Transformer conventions, and we've all seen it. I know many people that listen to or watch this show have experienced it as well. I have to say there has been several shows I've been to recently where people are starting to take note and starting to do this. I know the last TFCon that I went to, there was a distinct lack of smellage around the show floor. That's a positive sign, and people are listening. So just keep it up and follow these simple guidelines, and have a safe and happy con season. Editor's note, this is a live episode that we're doing tonight. Shocker. But next week is my birthday weekend, so it will be a pre-recorded weekend, and I will be having fun with the fam, and I know we're having a Transformers meetup on the day after my birthday, so hopefully if you are in the Kentucky area, Louisville, Kentucky area, on a week from tonight, feel free to stop in and have some cake and play some cards and eat pie and play with toys. Get your pecs signed. Yeah. Dawn's like, what?
Hell no.
So if you want to comment on anything that we've talked about tonight on the show, go to our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. We'd love to hear from you and tell us your thoughts on anything that we've talked about tonight. And as always, follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. It's the easiest way to get a hold of me directly. And as always, if you love what we do here on TFYLP, which, you know, if you're listening to us and watching us, surely you do, go right up here to the top. And we have a Patreon page at patreon.com/TFYLP. You can help us out, help us get new equipment, pay for our internet bills and server fees and everything lap that does dances. Yeah, lap dances from hookers and medical bills from Massey attacks, all kinds of things.
Hey, do you guys know who this Jason Rye fellow is?
Yes.
Is he a trustworthy person?
Yes, I would say so.
Very well. Don, would you concur?
I don't know the name.
Okay.
I have dealt with
just
him.
Another person you're friends with on Facebook.
He's friends with nearly everybody in the fandom. They're all just a sea of blank faces. And thanks for everybody wishing me a happy birthday in the chat. I really appreciate that.
Did you know that if you say Jesus backwards, it sounds like sausage?
I hadn't attempted that. Had not attempted that. Check out our sponsors, CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. You can save even more with orders of $150 or more with free domestic shipping at CapturedPrey.com. And if it hasn't hit already, there is a pile of loot option that's coming up. I believe it's called the Stasis Pod. It's where you can order your stuff and have it ship at a later date and save on shipping. So that's coming to Captured Prey. Also, check out Ripped Apparel. A lot of great stuff at Ripped Apparel. And if there's not already a great promotion already going, you can use the promo code TFYLPPOD and save 10% on your orders at Ripped Apparel. Thanks, everybody, for joining us this week. And for Headmaster Don, Rick Alvarez, and Robert Simmons, good night,
sausage.
Everybody.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.